Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. As always, the music has built up to the message. They had no idea what I was preaching or where I was coming from, but being this is the first Sunday in December, we need to hear a Christmas message. Amen? Are y'all ready? How many of y'all have Christmas trees up already? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. All right, put your hands down. How many of you do not have a Christmas tree up? Look here. All right. Put your hands down. How many of y'all hope that you aren't going to put a Christmas tree up this year? Hey, man, you got children. You going to put a Christmas tree up. Amen. If you will, again, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Also, turn your phones on and let the world know that you're worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Last week, we looked at the book of Ezra and learned that the Hebrew children were allowed to return to the promised land of Jerusalem after many years of captivity. We learned that King Cyrus, who ruled that area of land, had experienced the fullness of God in some sort, some way, and desired that the temple of the Lord be rebuilt. We saw that one of the first things the Hebrew children did was to build an altar and sacrifice sin offerings to the Lord when they returned. They did this knowing that the very act could have well put them in danger with those who lived in the area. But they did it anyway. They no longer cared. We learned that those days, they would worship the Lord the way they were supposed to worship every moment of every day. Yet they reversed, they reserved such worship for special days. And these days would once again become ritualistic, and they would again lose their land and their temple in short days to come. We learned that being thankful to God is something that we should never stop. Today I want us to see another praise service and see that if we do as directed during these praise services, we would always be thankful. Now listen, before I read the scripture, I, as a Christian, there's times that I get caught up in life, get caught up in time, get caught up in daily activities, things sometimes that I think are worthwhile, and things after I do them, I realize that was just not worthwhile at all. But from time to time, I realize that my worship does not resemble who I say I am in the Lord. Do y'all ever come to that? I mean, let's be honest. My worship does not resemble who I say I am in the Lord. And that should never be. We as Christians, we should know more than anybody else the price that was paid, the total price that was paid for each one of us, and we should live in a state of worship, in a state of thankfulness, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So let's visit another unexpected praise service this morning. Look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 8. Luke 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over the flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Does it say they were a little bit afraid? Does it say they were startled? No, our scripture this morning says they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that you will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them, he returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known unto us." Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins again, asking you to forgive us of our sins and where we fail you, asking you, Lord, to settle our hearts, settle our minds. Help us, Lord, to focus on the scripture, the sound of the message, Lord. Help us to hear the message, that we might be greater servants for you when we leave these premises and go back out in our mission fields. Help us to feel your presence like never before, God, because that's what you desire in our lives, Lord, to feel you and to know that you're with us always. Be with us now during this time. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Church, the scripture that I just read to you is probably my favorite part of the Christmas story for many reasons. The way that Luke records this story in his gospel, there's plenty of room for us to see with our minds the imagery of what took place on the night the shepherds were visited by angels from heaven. On this night, many things happened in the lives of these shepherds, but the intent of the whole night was they encounter the one who would bring the world great joy. And then tell everyone they encountered about what took place. For the next few minutes, I want us to analyze what took place this night. Now, in our minds, let's just step back for a second. Look at this scripture and think for a moment. As we see what just took place, as we know that Jesus, the Messiah, had been prophesied for hundreds, thousands of years to come, that he was definitely coming, all the signs that led up to, and finally Jesus came. Now, if I were to ask this question the week before Jesus came, and I was at the synagogue, and I told everybody in the synagogue, listen, I've looked at all the signs, and I really believe that next week Jesus is coming, and I have reason to believe that he is gonna manifest himself somehow, some way, to a certain group of people. I know he's going to do this. Who do y'all think this group of people is going to be? I believe we would have heard all kinds of suggestions that day. I believe some people would have said, oh, listen, the high priests who go into the holies of holy, that's who Jesus is going to, the Messiah, our Messiah, is going to reveal himself to. I believe that some would say those who have offered sin offerings and sacrifice, those who were faithful and don't hold back, that's who Jesus, the Messiah, is going to reveal himself to. I believe there would have been a multitude. Ricky Tyre, I don't believe anybody that I asked of that time would have said some of the first people that Jesus is going to reveal himself to are going to be shepherds out in the field. That wouldn't have been on the radar. The greatest scholars, the greatest minds of that day, I guarantee you, would never have said, oh, Jesus is going to reveal himself to shepherds. And we'll see why here in a second. There's a Levitical reason as to why, as y'all probably know. Now, as we walk to the edge of the field and we see this event unfold, we must first see one, maybe two shepherds standing watch over the entire flock while the rest of the shepherds slept. Now, we can imagine the night was a clear night and maybe just a little hint of chill in the air. The stars were out and illuminated the area just enough for the shepherds to see the outlines of the sheep. It was quiet enough that all they could hear was the movement and vocal sounds from those same sheep. The shepherds' eyes were in perfect adjustment to the dark to see any animal that approached the flock that might put them in danger. These men would stand at strategic locations around the flocks to keep them safe throughout the entire night. At a certain hour, those who were watching the flock would switch places with those who were sleeping so that they could sleep as well. And all would be prepared to move the flock if need were to arise. Church, these men knew their profession well and took what they were doing very seriously. They were what we would call professionals. Now, in every profession, every single profession, you have people who are novices. I mean, they're new to it, and they have the ends. The guys that we're talking about, they were professionals. To be out with the sheep. Now, there might have been some small, they were grooming, but the majority of they were professionals. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew their sheep knew them, and they could do all sorts of things, and we'll see here in a second, with these sheep just by their presence. Now, It's important for us to remember that these shepherds were what my wife would call worker men. They were worker men. Y'all know what a worker man is? I mean, we'll be driving down the road sometime, and she won't call them state workers leaning up against a shovel. She'll call them worker men. The other day, we were in Rock Kill, and we walked past an area, and there were guys welding back behind this building. You know what they were? They were worker men. These shepherds were worker men. That means that their hands were tough and their faces were windblown from the days and nights that they were exposed to the outside elements. They were very skilled with a staff and with a slingshot and with verbal commands. They could stand in one place and hit an approaching animal with their slingshot with accuracy and distance. They could use their staff to do the same if an animal got too close without them seeing. And they could use just a few words to if not just one, and the flock would respond in such a way that they wished at any moment. They could move them. These men knew how to raise a sheep for the profit of their family. They knew what to do. They knew how and where the water was, how to feed them and where the food was. If they were too fat or too skinny, they would move them to a different location to get the nourishment they needed. Listen, they knew how to shear those sheep. That's something I've seen on TV, and it just absolutely amazes me, but I don't ever want to try it. I don't want to try it. How they shear those sheep, they knew how to do it. And listen, they even knew this. They knew the right ones to pick to eat. They do. These men were real manly men. And I'm going to tell y'all a little secret. Y'all may or may not know this. Butch, I used to hunt. I don't know if you knew that. I did. And I was a horrible hunter. I was. I loved to go out and scout. I loved to see the signs and, you know, see the scrapes and the rubs and the droppings and trying to figure out where the deer were. And every time, listen, I know where they are. I know where they're moving. I know where they're bedding. I know where their food source is. I'd pick me a tree. And I don't know how about you, but I like to climb real high in a lock-on stand. So I'd put my tree hooks on and I'd climb. I'd usually a poplar. And I'd get as high as I could, and I'd watch it, and I'd get up there, and I'd have my grunt call, and blow the grunt call, and I had to sin on y'all, and I'd watch the path, and very seldom did I ever see a deer. Very seldom did I ever see a deer. I'll never forget one time. It was right before my sister's wedding. I was up in a big pine tree. Woods were behind me. It was in the middle of rut in South Carolina, and I was extra. I had that day. I had my grunt call, and I had some rattling horns. Middle of rut. So I was up there, and the breeze was hitting me right in the face. I was like, man, this is whole kumbaya. This is good stuff. Overlooking a field, and I was up there, and I'd rattle, and I'd set my blow the rattle, blow the horn, and I'd sit real still. Wouldn't move. And listen, this is how hunters move to scan the area. That's what we do. And if you're real good, you do this right here. You go. So I had rattled and I had grunt. I had the scents on me and everything was going right. And I heard movement. I was like, oh God, look, that's either a big squirrel or that's a deer. That's a big. And usually, y'all know what it is, right? It's a big squirrel. I went squirrel hunting one time and I saw deer and turkey. Really. But on this day, y'all, I looked, I could hear something coming. And I looked up and it was probably a 6 or an 8 point buck walking right towards me. And I did this right here. This is all I did, but really. I did like that. I had my gun in my hand and I did like this right here. About that time, he looked up and he started blowing and stomping the ground. And I pulled the gun up and I tried to shoot. I didn't kill that buck. I didn't. I wasn't that good of a hunter. These guys, I wasn't a good hunter, but I'm honest. But these guys, they didn't use a gun. They used a slingshot. Now, I told on myself I was not that good of a hunter, but I'm going to tell you, I was proficient with a slingshot. Now, not the slingshot they used. You go to Walmart now and you get one of those rubber bands, you know, rubber bands. We used to, when I worked at the foundry, we had 2 shutdowns a year. And my machine had probably 14 to 20 sets of bearings on this machine. And in this machine, the bearings were about this big, and they were perfectly round. And they used to throw them all away. They'd pull the old bearings out, throw them away, and get new bearings. Well, I'd go around to all the departments, and I'd get all the old bearings because I'd use them for my slingshot. Now, listen, a meter can or a street light at 150 feet away, you give me 2 shots, and I'm going to knock it out. I mean, I was good with a slingshot. That's how these guys, these shepherds, were with their slingshots. They were good. They were professionals. They knew what they were doing. If they saw something moving in the woods coming towards their sheep, they had this slingshot, just like David's sling, and they'd put a rock in that thing, and they'd just, you know, do this right here, and they'd knock them out, kill them. They were professionals. They knew exactly what they were doing. Well, what happened with these professionals in the field that night? These manly men, these men who were watching over the sheep. Well, verse 9 tells us the first part. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, it says this: "Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now imagine with me, as you will again, that they were in a field. It was dark. Y'all ever go into a room and you just, you know, sit in the room for a few minutes, a dark room? Your eyes completely adjust, whether you want them to or not, to the darkness. Now, you might not be able to see everything, but your eyes adjust to the darkness. They try to see what's in that room, right? So they're out there, and they're in the dark. Then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to them. Now, you know the angel of the Lord coming is coming with light, right? So out of this darkness, this light comes. They're out there by themselves, and now they have this light. Scripture says that they were terrified. These manly men, they weren't scared. They were absolutely terrified. And the angel, you know, tried to calm them down. Now, the second thing we see is this. An angel of the Lord stood right in front of them. Y'all, it's raining. It's okay. I hope your windows are rolled up. Now, I want to ask you here for a second. There's been times where I've been studying or praying or by myself. And just the other day, I was minding my own business. I heard a knock at the door. And I opened my door, and I looked towards the door, and Vicky was coming the other way, and she scared me to death. Where's Vicky? She's not here. Vicky scared me to death. I don't know if it was the way she looked that day or just that she was here at the church cleaning. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But it scared me that day. It startled me. But this is a different kind of scared. These men were, hey, Vicky, I was just talking about you. I was telling them how you scared me the other day. You got me. These men weren't scared. They were absolutely terrified. They thought they were all alone and by themselves, and out of nowhere, the angel of the Lord shows up, and the glory of God shines around them, and they are absolutely terrified. I want to ask, have y'all ever experienced anything like that before? I imagine we would be absolutely terrified as well. But the being terrified quickly turns to something else. Now, the second thing we see, the third thing we see here this morning is this. They heard the proclamation in verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says this. It says, "But the angel of the Lord said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today a Savior is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David.'" Now, we heard the proclamation from the angel of the Lord. First of all, he says, don't be afraid. I want to tell you something. Now, again, I want you to understand, the angel of the Lord didn't make this first proclamation to great men. He made it to shepherds, to lowly shepherds. And there's a reason. God does everything he does for a reason. Amen? And he did this for a reason. But he proclaims this message to the shepherds to calm them down, to prepare them for what is coming next. We then see they were told of a given location of where the child was going to be in verse 12. Verse 12 says this, it says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth, lying in a manger." And they did. But then they have another message. Then they saw and heard from a heavenly host in verses 13 and 14. Scripture says, Luke records, suddenly, if what they had seen wasn't enough, if what they had seen Mitchell hadn't terrified them enough, now out of the clouds, out of the sky, from the heavens, something else happens. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with an angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." Now, how many is this? How many is a few? Yeah, three or four. I don't know how many a heavenly host is. That's a lot, right? That's a whole lot. It could be all kinds of numbers. But these guys are out there in the field, and those who were sleeping, I'm sure they're awake by now, amen? I would be, because I don't know about you. When Vicky came around the corner, I didn't holler, but I jumped, didn't I, Vicky? And she was so happy. She was, because I always get her. I'll sneak in here and I'll unplug her vacuum cleaner, or I'll holler at her, or I'll get as close as I can and I'll scare her, because Vicky's a scaredy cat, just she is. But she finally got me. Now, I'm going to be honest. When somebody gets me good, I'll squeal. Woo! I imagine those who were sleeping, they were awakened by a squeal from those who were awake. I mean, you're in a dark field, and all of a sudden, all this is taking place. Right, everybody was awake now, and they were all experiencing this heavenly host that came out of nowhere. Now, they saw and they heard from heaven the host in verse 13 and 14. The sixth thing we see is seen in verse 15. Verse 15 amazes me. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now visually see what's taking place there. Everybody's gone, the light's gone, they've experienced everything, and now they're having a board meeting, they're having a deacon's meeting about what's just taking place, Bill. What y'all want to do? Guys, listen, did y'all really see that? Was it me? Did y'all give me something? Did y'all slip something in my... Come on. Did y'all all see it? Okay, we all saw that. So what do you think we ought to do? I mean, Bethlehem's not too far away. What do y'all want to do? Do y'all want to go? Who wants to go? And I imagine everybody raised their hand, right? Because they want to verify and validate what they just seen. How many of them do you think wanted to stay? Is there anybody there? I don't care who they... Bill, if they said, "Okay, Bill, we're all going to go, we're going to nominate you to stay here with the sheep." You going to stay? Say, "Guys, listen, I appreciate the nomination and the vote of confidence, but I ain't staying. I'm not staying." How many shepherds do y'all think stay and watch the flock? Scripture tells us that, you know, that they went. How many do you think stayed? I don't think any stayed. I really don't believe any stayed. Now, I can't validate that, but Scripture, you know, doesn't say either way. Now, church, for thousands of years, the coming Messiah had been prophesied and foretold. And the very ones who were visited by the angel of the Lord and the heavenly hosts were shepherds. They were shepherds. Men who in the Old Testament times were considered, guess what they were considered? Unclean. Shepherds were considered unclean. Now, they were not allowed to enter the temple of God because they could not in any way meet the Levitical laws of cleanliness. This cleanliness, these were the very ones who were visited by the first, by the they were the first to visit their Messiah. Now, tell me something, church. If these unclean men were invited to experience the Christ child on the first Christmas, who among us here today is not welcome? Think with me. They were around those nasty sheep all the time. All the time. This past week, Amy and I were watching a TV show, and there was this group of people who went. I don't know why they did, but there were, I guess, about five or six that wanted to go and experience a sheep herding. They wanted to go out and you know, watch the sheep and watch the dogs, how the dogs interacted with the sheep. And this one guy, when he got back, he kept doing this right here. He was like, whew, whew. I mean, he was just, he didn't lay with the sheep, but he said, I smell like those dirty sheep. Levitical laws prohibited these men from going to the temple or entering the temple because they had touched the unclean sheep. They probably had to touch blood quite often. They had to rub the sheep and nurture the sheep. So they could not experience the fullness of God. But on this day, the fullness of God wanted them to experience Him first. Explain something to me. Who is unclean? Who is not welcome to come and experience the fullness of God in our church and our congregations? We kind of look down our nose at people as we walk through the crowds. Sometimes when they come here to the church. Now, I've never seen it happen here, but in times past, I've seen, and Tony, I'm sure you've probably seen too, people will come into the church and they'll sit down on a pew and somebody on that pew will get up and move. You know why? Because they don't welcome them there. For some reason. Let me ask again, if God revealed Himself to these nasty shepherds, who is not welcome in the house of God? There's nobody. Nobody that's not welcome in the house of God at any time. Church, when you have experienced the Christ of Christmas, you have to go and see, and then you've got to go and tell. We never hear anything about these men again in all of New Testament Scripture. But I wonder how many times they were asked to tell their story. How many times they were asked to tell their story. Dan, I wonder how many times these men were bringing their flocks back out from the fields. And people would say, hey, look, there those boys are. They're the ones. They're the ones who say they saw this angel of the Lord and this heavenly host, and they heard these unbelievable things. There they are. Ricky, I wonder how many times they had to tell their story over and over and over and over again. Church, I do not know how you experience Jesus first in your life. This was the first experience these shepherds had experienced with Jesus. I don't know how you experience Jesus first in your life. But your response should be the very same. You should be filled with such amazement that you drop everything that you may be able to go and worship Him right then. No questions asked. The experience that you had should be so remarkable, just as remarkable as this, that you're willing to drop everything and go worship Him right then. Your encounter with Christ, the child of Christmas, should have made such an impact in your life that you have to tell somebody. Even if you know, listen, you know that those people are not going to believe your story, you still have to tell it. I've got to tell people how I met Jesus, what He did, how He changed my life, how I was walking in darkness and He opened my eyes to the light and the truth of His Word. I've got to tell somebody. Now, let me ask, have you met this Jesus and experienced this in such a way that you have to tell the world what Jesus has done for you? Well, Kyle, what are you talking about? It was no accident that God first revealed Himself to these shepherds. You see, what they did is what we should be doing. Every single day, nothing should be more important than acknowledging and worshiping Jesus the way He deserves to be worshiped. They dropped everything. Butch, they dropped everything. Nothing was more important than going to see Jesus. It's sad the day that we live in. We'll visit Jesus if we have time. Have you experienced Jesus in such a way that you've never gotten over Him? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love You. God, at the beginning of this Christmas season on December 1st, Lord, we proclaim that You are King of Kings, You're Lord of Lords. There's never been one who's risen above You and never will rise above You. God, we love You, we proclaim You, we are possessed by You, we are impressed by You, and God, we'll never get enough of You. Help us this day. Help us this day, Lord, to worship You the way You deserve to be worshiped every single day. Set nothing, all the busyness that Satan tries to get us involved in during this time of year, help us, Lord, to lose sight of it and keep our eyes focused on You. As our eyes try to see through the darkness, God, help us to focus on Your light. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, during this time of invitation, do you need to come and just spend some time with the Lord to get your heart and your mind focused on who He is this time of year? Will you come? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, won't you come down and let me show you what the Bible says each person must do to be born again? Will you come? As the music plays, will you come?